Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
All right. If you want to know the details of my arrest.
I actually do. It's interesting.
Well, I had just graduated from college and taken a position teaching. And my then fiance, now bride, was living in Tulsa and I was living in the Dallas area. And so I had driven up there to spend some time with her. And then Sunday night, before it was time for me to begin teaching again on Monday morning, I was driving home and an officer of the law pulled me over in order just to check things. And he decided to let me go. But then he stopped me again because he had run a check on my driver's license and found that there was a warrant for my arrest.
Oh, why was it?
It turns out that I had loaned my car to a buddy back in college and the inspection sticker had expired and he received a citation for it, but never told me that he'd received the citation. And so since the car was in my name, the arrest warrant was issued for me because I never appeared to take care of this ticket I didn't know had existed. So the officer said, all right, there's a fine for this. Well, I'd just come from a weekend and I was a poor kid just teaching and I don't have any money. He said, then you're going to jail. I said, you got to be kidding me. And he locked me up, put me in there, and I got one phone call. I woke my dad up in the middle of the night. He came to bail me out. But I was in there with a man who was recovering from a night of inebriation. He'd gotten into a fight. And he looked at me and said, what are you in for? I said, an expired inspection sticker.
He couldn't believe
it. Oh my word!
Oh yeah, I can imagine that. You know, it's so hilarious and at the same time ironic when you get arrested, you know, for something you did not do, right?
Yeah, I really had not received the citation, wasn't aware of it, but it was on my car, and so obviously I got the warrant issued.
You know,
for me.
In the Book of Acts, they just keep witnessing about Jesus, and they start getting arrested.
Yeah.
And we will find many arrests from here on in the Book of Acts, and actually things are getting a little more difficult for the disciples. The Book of Acts is, as we said in the beginning, a parallelism with the life of Jesus. First, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then they're witnessing, the crowds coming.
Yeah, things are growing swimmingly, and then all of a sudden persecution begins to come, opposition.
And then they start dying. So when we start in chapter 12 of the Book of Acts, we actually find out that the first disciple has now been put to death. So let's read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12.
It says, now about that time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword.
So we already had Stephen in chapter 7 and 8 that he had been killed, but he was not one of the 12.
No, he was not.
Now we are getting to the actual leadership of the church.
One of the apostles is now put to death. One of those who had been with Jesus, a disciple, is now put to death in chapter 12.
So in verse 3, when he saw Herod that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, Peter, of course, is one of the main disciples. We could say Peter and John are always legitimizing the work that is being done in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and now they're going to go a little farther. But Peter is, we would say, the rock of this church. And Herod said, hey, I'm doing good with the Jews. I'm just going to take him now.
And you know, those kings that were set up by Rome were always looking for the favor of the Jews because it would be much easier to rule them and to impose your will upon them if indeed you had some level of acceptance of your authority by these religious leaders.
Yes, and Herod needed a lot of that because it was what is called a client king, which was supposed to be one of the Jews. He professed the Jewish faith, even though he was an Idumean, right? But he actually did whatever Rome told him to do. And so he's trying to please the Jews all the time.
Yeah.
And so he gets Peter. And so when we talk about Peter being in prison, now you realize that this is a serious matter because James just died. And chances are that Peter will too.
Peter will as well. And he did not take this arrest lightly. Herod did not. It says when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people.
Okay, this is very similar to what happens to Jesus. Don't forget that it's Passover when
Passover
Jesus
time.
Will die, and they want to bring him before the people so that, you know, Herod is trying to pleasing to the Jews just as Pilate was. And so Peter was kept in prison, and the people of the church do exactly what they're supposed to do at this
time.
They
pray. They pray. The work of the church is prayer, and that's what they do. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God.
Why is it important to pray in these circumstances when God already knows what he's going to do? And I mean, why is it important?
You know, I don't know. I think that there are several reasons why prayer is important. Number one, I think that it legitimizes what God is about to do, because after all, my people who are suffering these things are asking me to do this so that I can intervene in human history. I think the other thing that it does for us, though, as the church, is it puts us in a position where we recognize our total dependence upon God.
Mm.
We ask him for his intervention, saying, I can do nothing to help myself. We are powerless as a people. Lord, we need you completely. It teaches us to rely wholly upon him and his providence, his superior skill and wisdom in these things.
Yeah, actually to accept his will. Because
that's right.
We don't know in his sovereignty what God will choose to do.
He may deliver and he may not. And it doesn't mean that in either case he failed to answer the prayer.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that I've learned in my Christian faith, that prayer actually prepares me to accept his will. He tells us to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But to submit our asking to his will. And here we have a miraculous deliverance that will happen. God will rescue Peter. As the church is actually praying, God will send an angel, and he will do a miraculous deliverance from prison. And we were already told that he had all the soldiers, four squads of soldiers guarding him. And that is nothing for God.
No, and these four squads of soldiers, this is kind of overkill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is Peter? You know, this guy's a fisherman. He's unarmed. He's not a soldier.
That's right.
He has no skill at warfare, but he's really going overboard and taking care of this guy.
And Luke here in verse 6 of chapter 12 of Acts actually tells us in the narrative how well they bound him to make sure he wouldn't escape.
On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison.
Yeah, it's impossible. See, but like Jesus said, those things that are impossible for men are not impossible for God. With God, everything is possible. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up. I love this. And he says, "Get up quickly." And you almost see how out of it Peter was, because the angel says,
he's been sleeping.
Yeah, and the angel says, "Put your sandals."
Sandals, come on.
Yeah, and this, gird yourself and put your sandals. Come on, get dressed up. I mean, this is something that Peter absolutely is not expecting.
Yeah, it says he put his sandals on, and then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. It's cold outside. Come on, put your cloak on. Let's go.
Yes, yes. See, three instructions the angel gives aside from get up.
Mm-hmm.
Put your clothes on, put your sandals, put your coat on. It looks like he has to tell him everything because
Follow me.
Correct. And
so, he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was sleeping a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself, and they went out, went along the street, and immediately the angel departed from him.
You know, this is very interesting because this is in the tradition of miraculous deliverances that we see in the Old Testament. Several times the prophets of God are delivered in this way. One of those times is the prophet Daniel and his three friends. In this case, it's actually the three friends. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar did this giant statue of himself?
Yeah, and everyone was supposed to worship it, but Daniel's three friends who were in town, Daniel was not, Shadrach, mm-hmm. Meshach, and Abednego, mm-hmm. refused to worship it. And he pulled them before him and said, "Listen, guys, I got the power to destroy you. We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Don't you understand this?"
And he said, "I'm going to give you another chance to worship me."
Yeah.
And they said, "You know what? We serve a God that if he wants to, he can deliver us.
Yeah.
But even if he doesn't, we're still going
to
serve."
That's right. So he said he has the power to deliver us. We don't know if he'll choose to or not. That's his business.
Yeah.
But we trust him because our God is able to deliver. And of course, in this case, he did deliver them from the fiery furnace.
Daniel chapter 3, verse 18 has a phrase that I love. "But even if he does not..."
Mm-hmm.
"Let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods."
Yeah.
See, the type of faith that says, "I'm going through trials. I'm going to ask God to deliver me. But even if he doesn't deliver me,
I'm still going to trust
him. I'm still going to believe in him.
I'm still there for him." Well, Peter wakes up and finds himself in the middle of the street here and figures out, "Oh, wow, I guess I'm out of prison." So he goes to where the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together there and were praying. And he knocks on the door, right?
Well, but they were praying for his deliverance.
Yeah, they're praying for an all-night prayer meeting.
Okay. Okay.
And then he knocks on the door. Verse 13, when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not even open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind."
Well, this is one of the most ironic places in all of the book of Acts. They're praying for Peter's deliverance. And this girl comes and says, "Peter's at the door." And they say,
"You're nuts.
You're crazy."
Yeah.
I mean, how is it when you pray something and it happens and you say, "What? Are you crazy that what we're praying for actually happened?"
Yeah, I've been there. But, you know, these guys are saying, you know, they didn't really believe that it was going to happen, I guess. I don't know if it was a formality or something, but I've been there where I was praying for something fervently, and when it happened, I was shocked.
Yes.
Shocked.
Many times, God puts our best dreams to shame. You know, we're asking for something, and we get it so quickly or so big or so beyond what we were expecting that sometimes we either are hesitant to believe it or we just praise God for what He's just done.
Right now, there are people listening to this who need deliverance, and you need deliverance maybe from some affliction, some habit or something. I'd like to pray for you right
now. That would be wonderful.
Dear Father, someone listening to my voice right now needs deliverance. I pray, dear Lord, that you would intervene in their lives, that you would give us the faith to believe that you are able to deliver us, no matter what the circumstances are. And even if you don't do this, Lord, we will trust you anyway. But right now, God, give us your deliverance. We trust you. Amen. I pray for you, the deliverance of the Lord. Trust Him. He's going to see you through one way or the other.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.